Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Casting Down Idols. This is the podcast where we talk about addiction and recovery from a biblical perspective. I'm your host, Pastor Mike Dixon. I've been clean and sober now for over 30 years, and you can too. The blessed hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ offers you the power you need to change, to be transformed forever. You do not have to stay the way that you are. And so I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. I pray it's an encouragement to you as you continue on this road called recovery. Listen and be blessed. Hello, everyone. It's Pastor Mike Dixon, host of the podcast, Casting Down Idols. Thank you for tuning in today. I want to remind you, if this podcast is a blessing to you, I'd certainly love to hear from you. My email address should be posted on the host where you're actually listening to this podcast today. But it's MikeLifeAddictionRecovery@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email if you got a prayer need or a suggestion about something you'd like to see featured on this podcast. Please let me know about those as well, but I'd love to join with you in prayer if you've got a prayer need. I want to answer the question today as you listen to this episode: where do you turn for help in times of need, in times of trouble? Do you just look and see what you see with your physical eyes, or do you look past the physical world into a world that's unseen, into a world that offers us all the resources we need to recover and be the men and women of God that God wants us to be? So today, again, I want to share the worship service with you this morning that we did online, a live streaming service at Winterville Baptist Church here in Winterville, North Carolina. I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Send me an email. Like this podcast. If you'll give us positive ratings, a 5-star rating, that would help us reach more people. I hope you're blessed by the service today. Let's take God's word. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 8 through 17 this morning. I'm preaching on this subject, the hope in unseen realities. You know, a lot of churches today offer their people false hope. A lot of churches today, from a lot of pulpits, I'm afraid there's more psychobabble going on than there is biblical preaching and biblical teaching. The power of positive thinking, for example, and if you're dipping your bucket into those type of wells, I'm just going to tell you, my friend, your bucket's going to come up dry every single time. We at Winterville Baptist Church, we believe that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We believe there's hope in God's word. We believe it is indeed a truth that will set you free. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, in this text we're about to read together this morning, this is during a time where the Syrians, the enemies of God's people, the people of Israel, are coming against God's people. There's a battle going on. There's a continued war going on between the armies of Syria and the people of God, the people of Israel. And God's people, the Israelites, they have a special weapon. That is that God is with them. And God's got a man, a prophet by the name of Elisha, who is in the camp of the Israelites, who just begins to tell the king of Israel every move the Syrian army is making. And so with that kind of context, I want you to follow along in your reading of the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And the Bible says, "Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, 'At such and such a place shall be my camp.' But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there.' And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?'" In other words, the king of Syria is saying, "Who's the spy? Help me identify who's the spy in our military forces." Now, verse 12, it goes on. "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' And he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him.' It was told him, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You know, I want to encourage you today, don't just get focused on what you see with your physical eyes. I want you to get focused on what you see with eyes of faith. Unseen realities all around us this morning. Let's go to God in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your blessed word this morning. I thank you and praise you for this privilege. Lord, this gift, this blessing that we have right now, just to tune into what you have to say, to cut the media off, stop listening to the news and broadcasters and all the things coming down the pike. Lord, just to get tuned into heaven. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to get focused, not just with our physical eyes, but, Lord, with eyes of faith. Help us to be so intently concentrated on what you're going to say and what you're about to speak that, Lord, even if an earthquake comes, we're not going to be distracted. And I pray you'd be honored and glorified in the preaching of your word this morning. Once again, I don't want to complicate things. Help me, Lord God, not to get in the way of what you want to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hope and unseen realities. Now, in this text that we just read together, really we've got a picture of a promise, a passage of Scripture in the New Testament. In fact, it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, and it says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us that we're in a battle. There's a war that's raging, and we can't fight this war in the flesh. The weapons that we need are not of the flesh. They're not of a worldly nature. The weapons that we need are of a spiritual nature, and God's given us all that we need to pull down the strongholds that the enemy wants to bog us down with, that embed our minds. And so the Bible says that God has given to the believer resources that are divine resources, resources that are not of this world, resources that you're not going to be able to see with your physical eyes, but you're going to have to look through eyes of faith to realize what God has given us as revealed through the Word of God. Now, I believe in the Scriptures we just read this morning, there's a twofold challenge. A twofold challenge. The first thing I see here, the first point in this twofold challenge, number one, there's a challenge to the faithless Christian. The Bible says in verse 8 that the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And by the way, my friends, I believe that picture is a spiritual battle that we're in. We as God's people, we've got an enemy out there, the devil and the demons, and they're always seeking ways that they can ambush God's people. They can come against us. And so we've got to be on guard against that. And so this literal battle here between the Syrian armies and the Israelite forces is a picture of the spiritual battle that we rage. Now, the Apostle Paul said, it's in another place in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. The Bible says, again, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with spiritual forces that are out to get us and to destroy us. And so that's the picture here. The Syrian armies are they're coming against Israel, God's chosen people, with all their forces, just like the devil and demons come against us. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, the man of God. Now, I love the way Elisha is entitled, not just here, but many times in this book. He's referred to as the man of God. That's what he's called. I believe that's a title that I ought to wear. I believe that's a title that you ought to wear. I believe that God help us to be men of God. God help you to be a woman of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. God help us to live our life in such a way that the world would know us as men and women of God. Just like this prophet Elisha is called the man of God, I pray that that would be true of us. Now, what is a man of God? What is a woman of God? Well, first of all, there's no way you're going to be a man or woman of God unless, first of all, you believe in God. I mean, that's the very basis there of the title. You've got to believe that there is a God.
in order to be a man of God, in order to be a woman of God. I believe you've got to be in a right relationship with that God. And the only way to be in a right relationship with that God is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your precious Lord and Savior. And so in order to be referred to as a man of God or a woman of God, know that God exists, but also know God in a relationship, and that intimate relationship is available to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so as I talk about being a Christian this morning, I'm not necessarily talking about what a lot of churches today are doing with the gospel. I call it watering down the gospel. When I talk about being a Christian, I'm not talking about, you know, having your name on a certificate of baptism that somebody presented you with at some point in time. I'm not talking about that type of Christianity. I'm not talking about that kind of gospel. I'm not talking about just saying that you're a Christian. You know, just saying you're a Christian doesn't necessarily make it so. You could be standing in Burger King and profess to be a Big Mac, and you're not a Big Mac. And so just because you claim to be a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. And so we've got to make sure that it's true. And the only way to do that is to, again, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Talking about Christianity, I'm not talking about a denominational tag. It's not about denominations. Being a Christian, when the Bible talks about being a believer, being a Christian, it's talking about being a born-again believer. Really, that's the only kind of Christian. A bona fide, born-again, blood-bought child of the King, one who's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their forgiveness of sins. You've been to the cross of Calvary in faith, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, brought into the family of God by a miracle of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bible says a Christian is. But let me tell you something else that a Christian is, according to Scripture. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian in the Bible. No such thing as a part-time Christian. And yet, so many times in churches today, in the age in which we live, I see so many people living their life as though they think it's all right to be a part-time Christian. When I look in God's Word, when it talks about discipleship and it talks about following our Lord Jesus Christ in faith with our lives, it's not a part-time event. It's a full-time life commitment that you make to step out and follow the Lord no matter what, to make sure that He's number one in your life. And so I believe that's also included in being referred to as a man of God or a woman of God, that you make sure you're not living a part-time Christianity, but you're completely sold out to the Lord, that He's got priority in your life. And so I ask you this morning, where is He at in your life? What kind of priority does the things of God fall in your ranking of things that are important to you? Where is the Lord in your priorities in your life? Now, again, you say, well, Brother Mike, you know, I know you're in full-time ministry and you're able to do this full-time, and I know that you're able to be a full-time Christian, but listen, the rest of us, we got families to take care of, we've got jobs that we've got to go to and bills that we have to pay, and we've got all these things. And so, Pastor Mike, we don't want to go overboard. We don't want to be obsessive compulsive about our faith. Maybe you can do that, but we can't do that. And if that's what you're thinking, that thought process right there tells me you're not a full-time Christian. You're not a bona fide, blood-bought child of the King who's totally sold out following the Lord no matter what. You know, let me ask you, was Jesus Christ a part-time Savior? I mean, when Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, walked this earth in sandal feet, did He just go part-time? I mean, did He just go half the way? No, my friend, He went all the way. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. He laid down His life freely for you and for me. He didn't have to do that, but He freely gave His life that we might have forgiveness of sin and spend forever with the Lord in heaven one day. And so the Lord, and using Eastern North Carolina lingo, the Lord went whole hog for us. Can't we go whole hog for Him? Can't we be full time in our devotion, in our priorities? Can't we be full time Christians? I tell you, being a full time Christian is anything but boring. Amen? I mean, being a full time Christian, I mean, it's exciting. Being a full-time Christian, it's full of purpose. Being a full-time Christian, it's full of joy. Being a full-time Christian, it's full of contentment. I mean, it's the last thing on earth that's boring and being a full-time Christian. And so I need to make sure, as a man of God, as somebody who is declaring I am a full-time Christian on this Lord's Day, following the Lord with a lifetime commitment, I've got to make sure that He's in the right priority. He's the most important thing in my life. Jesus is to have priority in your business life, He's to have priority in your private life. He's to have priority in your hobbies. He's to have priority in your religious life, in your worship life, in the way that you treat your spouse, in the way that you treat your children, in the way that you treat your parents, in the way that you treat your neighbors. He's to have priority. Being a Christian is not a part-time event. Now, Elisha is referred here to, again, as a man of God. Again, God help us that that would be true of us. And we see he's the secret weapon. See, Elisha is the secret weapon in the hands of God in defeating the enemy, the armies of Syria. Every time the Syrian army would come together and they'd got a plan, we're going to ambush the Israelites. We're going to be over here hiding from them. And we've got this plan. We're going to ambush them. Every time the Syrian army came up with that plan and they went out to trip up God's people, to capture God's people, the Syrian king is finding out somehow the Israelites are finding out what we're doing before we ever do it. And so the king of Syria thinks, there's got to be a mole among us. There's got to be a spy among us. And so he calls in his military forces and he says, won't you get to the bottom of this? Find out who the spy is in our camp that's going from our side over to the camp of the Israelites, telling the king of Israel exactly what we're doing, exactly when we're doing it. Elisha, a man, the man of God, referred to right here in the scripture, is the secret weapon in the hands of God. I'm telling you, when you yield to the Lord and you're totally sold out, you're committed to Him, you're going to live a life of full-time Christianity devoted to the Lord, making sure that He's number one priority in everything you do, not just in church life, but in your life, in every room in your heart, across your life, across the board. When you step out to do that, let me tell you, not only are you a threat to the enemy, but you become a secret weapon in the hands of Almighty God. See, Elisha's right here, yielded to God, living his life for God, making sure that God is number one. And God's revealing to Elisha everything the enemy's plotting. And so when God tells Elisha, the enemy's going over here, the Syrian army's going over here to trip up my people, warn the king of Israel, and you go to the king of Israel and warn the king of Israel, it's because God was telling Elisha. God still speaks today. God still speaks today. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through that still small voice, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as born again, blood bought children of the King. God still speaks today. And He speaks a word today to warn us, to help us to understand how we ought to be living. You know, sometimes God comes to us and God tells us the same thing Elisha is telling the King of Israel. God tells us, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't get involved with that other thing. Stay out of the way over there. Stay clear of that section. Don't go in that area. Sometimes that's the warning. And so when God gives Elisha this information, and Elisha goes to the king of Israel and tells the king of Israel, you know, I got to thinking about this. Really, Elisha's preaching here. I mean, he's really preaching because he's telling the people where they ought not to be going. Now, I know anytime a preacher gets to preaching on this subject, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, now, Pastor Mike, you've gone to meddling. No, now I go to preaching. Because I believe God anoints preachers to preach His Word. God anoints us to stand and not just give you a feel-good message. Sometimes God's man's got to stand and warn you, don't go over there. There's places you ought not to be going as a born-again, blood-bought child of the King. If you're living full-time Christianity, following the Lord, and He's a priority in your life, there's certain places you ought not to go to. And so maybe I need to remind somebody listening to this sermon this morning, there's some places you ought not to go to. There's some places that the preacher stands and warns you based on the Word of God, places you know you ought not to be going as a born-again believer, and yet you go anyway. And just like the Syrian armies, they were planning to ambush God's people. The reason why God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go to those places is because the enemy has plotted to trip you up. And so the preacher stands and he warns God's people. You know, over the years in pastoring Baptist churches, some of the places that I've known some of God's people to go into, I wouldn't want them to carry my cold, dead body out of some of those places, let alone be caught alive in them as a born-again child of God. And so wouldn't it be a whole lot easier for you if you would just yield to what God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and this preacher is warning you this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit's revealing some places to you right now in your heart and in your mind that you're being warned, that you've been going to, that you've been visiting, that maybe you've been thinking about going to, and God's warning you don't go into those places. Instead of going to those places and getting yourself tied up in one more big mess, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if you would just yield to what God's telling you to do right now on this Lord's Day and not go to those places to start with? You know, maybe at Winterville Baptist Church, maybe the next ministry we need to start is the Winterville Baptist Church Spiritual Record Service. And we just go out here, once you go to those places you know you know not to go to, and you get tied up and you get in a mess and your faith gets weak and you end up in the ditch. And so Winterville Baptist Church is a spiritual record service. We've got to go out there to pull you out of those places. We got to go out there to where you are, one more mess, you've got yourself in again, and we got to throw out that chain of faith and wrap it around you and reel you back into safety. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if you just wouldn't go to those places to start with? And so Elisha, God's telling Elisha what the enemy's doing. Elisha goes to the king of Israel, tells the king of Israel what God's revealed to him, and the king of Israel communicates to God's people, like I'm communicating to you on this Lord's Day, don't you dare go over there. And they didn't go over there. And so every time the Syrian king and the armies tried to trip up God's people, they failed over and over and over again. You know what? We've got the victory in Jesus Christ. If we'll just listen, if we'll just listen, if we'll heed what God's speaking in our heart, if we'll take the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit and apply it to our life, don't let it go in one ear and out the other this morning. I mean, it makes absolutely no difference in your life unless you take the truth of God and you apply it to where the Holy Spirit's telling you to apply it. It will make no difference. So you need to heed it. You need to apply it. You need to decide, I'm going to walk in this Word that God's given me. So just like the enemy was out there for the Israelites in the bushes hiding, waiting to trip up God's people, the enemy is the same way today. I mean, he's out there. He's right around the corner. He's right around the bend. He's hiding in those dark rooms. He's hiding behind those bushes. He's just hiding, waiting to trip you up. You've got to walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and make sure you avoid those places God's warning you don't go there. So Elisha is saying, don't go to those places. The king of Syria is thinking there's got to be a spy. How does Israel know every time we're getting ready to plant an ambush, there's got to be a spy among us? Now, it's amazing that Elisha's got a reputation here. Because one of the Syrian military people come up and they tell the king of Syria, they say, no, there's not a spy. It's not about a spy king. There's not a mole among us, king of Syria. There's this man, Elisha. They'd heard about him. They had heard his reputation. They had heard that Elisha was a man of God. And they say it's about Elisha. He's living over in Dothan. Now, that's not Dothan, Alabama. This is Dothan, Israel. This is where Elisha the prophet is. He's in Israel. Elisha, the one who's been warning the king of Israel, he's never been in the palace of the king of Syria. He's never been in the king's palace. And yet he hears what the king is saying when the king is even in his bedroom. How in the world can that be? It's not because they planted some kind of audio device. They didn't have those things. It's because God's revealing to the man of God exactly what's going on in the camp of the enemy. Wow, we got an awesome God, don't we, folks? I mean, we got an awesome God. A God who doesn't just love us, a God who doesn't just forgive us, a God who doesn't just bring us into his family, all by grace, simply because we put our faith and trust in what God has done for us perfectly. But God continues to speak to our hearts. Even on this Lord's Day, he continues to warn us and to speak to our hearts and give us the word that we need, even concerning our enemy. He'd love to destroy you. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Those three things. That's what the enemy wants to do in your life. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus goes on in that verse. He says, but I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts. He speaks through the Word. He warns us, even when the enemy's out to get us. And so once the king of Syria finds out about this, it's about Elisha. He's over in Dothan in Israel. You know what the king says? to find out where he's at, man. I want to find out where his house is at. We're going to get him. I'm not going to take this lion down. He thinks he's going to defeat me and my plan. He'll see what's coming. And so what the king does, they find out exactly where Elisha is dwelling in Dothan, and he sends out the military. Now notice, all this is about one man, the man of God. One person full of the Holy Spirit of God, standing on the authority of the Word of God, is such a threat to the enemy, the king of Syria sends out every branch of his military. I mean, they got soldiers, they got wagons, they've got horses. One person, one man, one woman who's completely sold out, determined, I'm going to live a full-time Christian life. God's going to be number one in my life. I'm going to serve the Savior with everything I've got within me. I'm telling you, that'll make the enemy's knees knock. He'll send out the full artillery. He'll send out every branch of his military to come against you. But I'm telling you, we've got the victory in Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but think about what happened in the book of Acts. Remember when the Apostle Paul's casting out demons? And some of these other guys on the sidelines who don't really know Jesus Christ, they say, man, I think we can do that. And so they go out and they try to cast a demon out of a man using the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that demon comes out of that man, jumps on the guy trying to cast the demon out and beats the tar out of him. And you remember what the demon said? The demon said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? God help me to live my life in such a way the enemy at least knows my name. Amen. I want to live that kind of life. I want to be a threat to the enemy's camp. And so they had heard of Elisha. The king sent out the military. The Bible says in verse 14, they sent out the horses, the chariots. I mean, there's a great army here. I mean, they've got the whole cavalry surrounding one man. They do all this just to get to one man, Elisha. And they surrounded his dwelling. The Bible says that the servant, that would be the servant of Elisha, comes out of the dwelling, and he looks with only his physical eyes. He sees all the military forces. He sees all the army. He sees all the chariots. He sees all the soldiers surrounding the man of God. And the Bible says that the servant of Elisha, he goes to Elisha and he asks a question, what shall we do? He wasn't asking for directions. He really wasn't asking for, Elisha, what's your plan? What he was really saying is, this is hopeless. I mean, there's no way we're going to get out of this one, Elisha. You know, we better just go ahead and say our prayers. This is our final day here on earth. It's impossible. This is an impossibility. Elisha, there's no way. All hope is gone. How are we ever going to get out of this situation? You know, maybe you're listening to this sermon. Maybe you kind of feel like that. You know, in the midst of everything going on, I don't know, maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're out income. Maybe you're not getting a check right now. You're waiting on unemployment or whatever. Maybe you've been laid off. You know, a lot of businesses are closed down right now. I know a lot of people are hurting financially. Maybe you're faced with an impossibility. Maybe you're faced with a situation that you would confess this morning. This looks hopeless. And you're going to God and you're saying, God, what am I supposed to do? I want to encourage you and let you know it's not just about what you see. You open that drawer where you keep your bills at. You know, we got a certain place in our home where we put our bills right there and we keep them together. So we make sure we don't lose count of anything, that we make sure that we work our way through those things, get those bills paid on time. If all you're seeing is what you see with your physical eyes, I want you to open the eyes of faith this morning and I want you to see an army. I want you to see resources. I want you to see that God is a God who's not failed you. God is a God who has provided for you every single thing that you need, no matter what you're facing. The despair, the loneliness, the depression, all the things that are compounded in the midst of this pandemic and the social distancing. And, you know, we're made to have connections. We're to have built and created to have relationships with God and with one another. Right now in the midst of all this, where all that seems to be broken, I'm telling you, God's still God and God's offering us everything that we need no matter what you're facing. And so you say, what are we going to do? I mean, I turn to the left and I turn to the right and I look up ahead and I look behind me. It just looks like trouble everywhere. Pastor Mike, I'm just surrounded with trouble. I'm just surrounded by the enemy. He's just encamped all around me. What on earth am I going to do? Well, you maybe can't do anything but God. Now, I love that, but God. B-U-T, but God. You know, but changes everything. I remember as a kid in junior high school, really liking this girl, you know, really liking her. And I remember one time finally got the nerve up, went to her, you know, began to talk to her, and she got right down to business, man. She said, "Mike, I think you're all right, but," and I won't go any further than that, "but changed it all." You might be saying, "I feel hopeless right now. I feel like it's impossible. I feel like there's no way I'm going to get through this." But God, even in the midst of despair, even in the midst of a hopeless situation, but God changes everything. What shall we do? We shall look to God. Now, let me tell you the difference between fear and faith. Fear focuses on seen realities. Fear just focuses on seen realities, what you see with human eyes. Faith focuses on the unseen realities. I've got to look through eyes of faith. I've got to see what I can't see with human eyes. Faith only factors in resources in the natural world. Faith factors in resources in the supernatural world. So fear only factors in resources in the natural world. Faith factors in resources in the supernatural world. Now, one more. Faith focuses in on me. So it's all about me. My ability, my strengths. Faith focuses in on God. And so this servant of Elisha, when he goes outside the dwelling and he looks, he's just looking with physical eyes. That's really what got him filled with despair, because he's not looking through eyes of faith. He just sees through his physical eyes. And what he sees through his physical eyes is the enemy all around him. Now, Elisha's prophet had forgotten about God's faithfulness in the past. For every Israelite, embedded in their memory was the great miracle that God performed at the edge of the Red Sea, when Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt were coming up against them, and how God parted the Red Sea and God's people, the Israelites, walked across on dry land and got to the other side and shouted victory. And then God closed in the waters of the Red Sea upon Pharaoh and his armies and the enemy and just wiped them out. See, this servant here, he knew about all that. I mean, that was in the mind, embedded again in the mind of every Hebrew, every Israelite, and yet in the midst of this problem, he forgets all that. He forgets God's faithfulness. He's only seeing through human eyes what he can see with his physical eyes. And let me tell you, you got to look past that. You got to open your eyes of faith. You got to see through the lens of Scripture. You got to get in tune with heaven. You got to remember all the times God's been faithful in the past, all the times that God has been there for you faithfully, all the times that God has delivered you, all the times that God has rescued you, all the times that you too have walked across on dry land because God has provided over and over and over again. God's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not changed. And we've got to remember that in the midst of situations, just like recorded here in our text, God is up to something bigger. God is up to something that we can't see with human eyes. God's working behind the scenes. God's moving things together for our good and for His glory every single time, according to His promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God is going to be a faithful God every single time. Maybe you feel like trouble's raining down on you. Maybe you feel like you're drowning in trouble. Maybe you feel like trouble's just squeezing the very life out of you. There's trials everywhere. There's testings everywhere. There's one obstacle after another obstacle, one failure after another failure. I want to tell you, Almighty God has unseen realities coming to your rescue even right now, even on this Lord's Day, and you've got to get your eyes on those unseen realities. You see, fear gives way to faith. I don't believe that fear and faith can dwell in the same heart. Where there's faith, there's not going to be fear. Where there's fear, there's not going to be faith. And God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. God's given us faith. Faith will push out the fear. Faith will push out the obstacles, the things that the devil wants to get us stressed out and anxious about and worried about. We've got to make sure that we're trusting God. We're putting our faith in Him. Really, that's what faith is. Trusting God. Trusting God to do what God's promised, and trusting God that God is who He says He is, as revealed in the Word of God. Now, the Bible says right here in our text in verse 16, the servant's afraid. He goes to Elisha. He says, "What are we going to do?" Elisha responds in verse 16, "Do not be afraid for those." You see that? Don't be afraid for those. We got more than one on our side, my servant friend. Those. He's talking about a group. He's talking about more than one. Supernatural persons is what he's talking about. He's talking about an army of angels. He says, for those who are with us. God never leaves us. He's always with us. He's omnipresent. Omnipresent. He knows all things too. Just like God's telling Elisha exactly what the enemy's doing, exactly when the enemy's doing it. God knows all things. God is all powerful. God is all present. There's no place that you can go where you're going to get outside the presence of God. This side of eternity. Now, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to a place where there's going to be no God. That's what's going to make hell, hell. Separated from the very presence of God. But right now, as we walk this journey of life together and we face one obstacle after another obstacle, just like Elisha reminds the servant here, we've got unseen realities. God's with us. Elisha says, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Praise God. Can I get a hallelujah? You know, sometimes, and I know I've mentioned him a lot lately, but I just can't help but thinking about the Apostle Peter. I mean, I love Peter. When I look at Peter, you know, I just feel like if God can use Peter, God can use me. Peter encourages me because, he was a man who made mistakes. I think about Matthew chapter 26 when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus and Simon Peter said, oh no, you're not going to take Jesus. And he draws his sword and he cuts off the ear of the servant. You remember all that according to the Bible? And Jesus looks at Simon Peter in so many words. Jesus tells Peter, put the sword up, man. Put the sword up, and he heals that servant's ear. He's the enemy, but the Lord reaches out in grace and blesses the enemy anyway and heals his ear. And then Jesus says to Peter, he says, I can handle this situation. If I wanted to, I could call down 12 legions of angels. That's what Jesus said. You know how many angels would be in one legion? 6,000. So this is a lot of angels. Jesus is telling Peter, I don't need your help, Peter. I don't need you to defend me. If I wanted to, I could call down multitudes of armies of angels and they would come to my rescue. Hope in unseen realities. You see, Jesus is talking about the presence of angels around us. And so when Elisha tells his servant, don't be afraid. You got to look past what you see with your human eyes. You got to look through eyes of faith. The hope in unseen realities. And so Elisha the prophet goes to God and he prays a prayer to God and he asks God, Lord, I pray you'd open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Now, you got to remember with me, what he saw with his eyes is what got him in trouble to start with. I'm talking about physical eyes. And so Elisha's not asking God to open his eyes physically. He could see physically because he saw the enemy. He's asking God, Lord, help my servant open his eyes. Help him to see through eyes of faith. Help him to realize these unseen realities, these resources that you've given us to get through this time. Lord, you're going to give us the victory. Help him to see through eyes of faith. Help him to see through the word of God that you're true. True and true, through and through. That, Lord, you will always be faithful. God, help him to see these promises recorded in your blessed word. These promises are for us. These promises are for you. Don't just get caught up in a world that you see through your physical eyes. See through eyes of faith. And so my prayer for you on this Lord's Day, that God would open your eyes. Not just to see the businesses that are closed. Not just to see the stay-at-home order. Not just to hear what's coming through the media. Not just to hear the bad forecast that experts are giving us. But to see unseen realities. To see through eyes of faith. God, open his eyes. God, open her eyes. Help them to see what they can't see with the physical eyes. God, open her eyes. Give us hope on this Lord's Day. Give us encouragement on this Lord's Day. Lord, help us to be reminded there's an army all around us. Lord, to minister to us. God, give us eyes of faith. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Help me to really see Romans 8:31. Help it to grip me. Lord God, where it says in Romans 8:31 that if God is for me, who can be against me? Lord, open my eyes to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 where it says, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Lord God, Open my eyes to the truth of your word. Open my eyes to the truth of your presence. Open my eyes to the truth of unseen realities all around us, even right now in the midst of this pandemic. God, you've not abandoned us. You've not left us. In fact, you've given us all that we need to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. You know, I find great encouragement in the Psalms. And so many of the Psalms tells us that God is our refuge. God, open our eyes to that truth that you're our refuge. God, you're our fortress. God, as the psalmist writes, you are our shield. Open our eyes to that truth. Lord God, help us to see that you're our sword. That, Lord God, you're our hiding place. You're our refuge that we run to that keeps us safe. Lord God, open our eyes. Open our eyes to the fact that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And so I look at the servant of Elisha, and he goes out, and a faithless believer. A believer who looks out and doesn't see through eyes of faith, but he sees through physical eyes, and he's full of despair, and he thinks it's impossible. And he's saying to Elisha, how in the world are we going to get through this? This is impossible. This is hopeless. Yet Elisha prays to God, open his eyes, and God opens his eyes. Point number two. There's a challenge here, not just to the faithless Christian, but number two, to the helpless Christian. You know, right now I'm speaking to a believer. You're a born-again believer, but maybe you feel hopeless right now. You know, I think one thing that we often feel hopeless about is when we've got a loved one who's lost. Maybe a coworker doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's your parents. A brother, sister, sibling. I don't know. Maybe a neighbor. Somebody you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and it troubles you, and it ought to trouble you. For the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the soul that sins will surely die. The Bible teaches us there is a real place called heaven that's reserved for the devil and his demons and every person who does not say yes to Jesus Christ. Those that reject Jesus Christ are going to spend forever in that place. But you're concerned. But you're at a point right now where you've just about lost hope for that lost loved one. I mean, you say, preacher, I've written letters, it's not helped. I've tried to talk to them, it's not helped. I've tried to encourage them, it's not helped. Why, they went to church with me last Christmas, went to the Christmas program, that didn't help. That didn't turn them around. Doesn't seem like anything I'm doing is helping, preacher. I mean, what in the world am I going to do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to lay them at the throne of God. You need to lay them at the foot of Calvary. You need to claim the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that lost loved one, that God will break through in the power of the Holy Spirit and convict that heart to come to Jesus. You know, they're blinded by the devil. You know, it's interesting, the rest of this story, if you want to read it later on, that what God does is God actually comes in and he blinds the enemy. The armies of Syria, God blinds them. It's interesting there that God had to open the eyes of the servant that he could see through eyes of faith, and God blinds the enemy. And those loved ones right now that I'm referring to, that you've been praying for, that you're asking God just to do a work, that they'll come to salvation. You know, the problem is they've been blinded. They've been blinded by the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, the God of this age, that's talking about the devil, has blinded their eyes, blinded their minds, that they might not believe in the glorious gospel. That the glorious gospel might not shine through the darkness in their heart right now and save their soul. Religion doesn't save a person. Denominationals don't, that doesn't save a person. Good works can't save a person. See, I'm not talking about any of those things. God's the only one who can save a person. You can't save a person. The pastor can't save a person. You know how many times I wish I could. How many times I've sat across from people in counseling rooms and just wish, you know, I just in my flesh wanted to grab them, just throw them up against a wall and say, look, you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Man, can't you see what you're doing to your family? Can't you see what you're doing to your marriage? But I can't save anyone. God has to save them. And so just like Elisha goes to God and prays to God, God, open his eyes. What you need to do for that lost loved one that the Holy Spirit's laying on your heart right now, the one thing, the greatest thing you can do is go to God and pray, God, I pray you'd open his eyes. Lord God, open his eyes to the truth that he's lost. Lord God, open his eyes to the consequence of his lifestyle. Open his eyes to where this road of sin is headed. Lord God, open his eyes to the reality that hell does exist, reserved for the devil and the demon. Where he's headed unless he says yes to Jesus Christ. Lord God, open his eyes. Lord God, open her eyes. God's the one who convicts. God's the one who saves. And so I see a picture here of the greatest thing that we could do for those that are lost. Same thing Elisha does. He goes to God and he prays, Lord God, open his eyes. Prayer is the greatest thing that we can do. So circle that in your Bible. Circle that in your Bible. God, open their eyes. Open their eyes to the reality that they're lost. And so many times we feel like as believers, you know, we just get to a point in trying to minister to these lost people around us. It can be discouraging. It can be depressing. It can get to a point for us that we feel like, you know, what else can I do? You can pray. Go to God. God's the one who can open the eyes of those who are lost. To a lot of people probably listening to this sermon today, when you think about the cross, you know, maybe you wear a cross necklace. Maybe, you know, when you look at the cross, you think, you know, that's a pretty piece of jewelry. I pray this morning God will open your eyes. God will open your eyes to the reality of the fact it's not a pretty piece of jewelry. The cross is the symbol of God's love for a lost and dying world. The cross is a picture of the most perfect love. The cross is a picture of grace. The cross is a picture of everlasting life. The cross is a picture of a new beginning for you right now, because it's what happened on that cross. You got to receive it by faith. It's who hung on that cross. You got to look to him in faith. You got to see him through eyes of faith this morning. He opens the door of heaven to you. He gives you a brand new beginning on this Lord's Day. The past can be in the past. God's got a plan. God's got a future. You say, oh, you don't know. I just feel like I'm just encamped about by the enemy. I'm telling you, there's armies around you. Unseen armies that God has placed around you, that God is using right now to minister to you, to speak to your heart, to draw you to him, to open your eyes to the reality of what's happening right now. I'm telling you, when Christ died on that cross and they placed his body in that tomb for 3 days, out on the battlefield, the devil and the demons partying, dancing, jubilee. But when Jesus arose from that grave on the third day, I'm telling you, you know what that battlefield looked like? Demons laying everywhere, defeated. When the Lord came back victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Not just for him, but also for you. And the only one standing victoriously was Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord. My friend, I encourage you this morning. I pray for you. God, open their eyes that they might see. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so grateful for your blessed word this morning. Thank you for meeting us, Lord, right here where we are. Right here in the midst of this struggle. Right here where maybe sometimes we feel like the enemy's just encircled us. It's like one bad news situation after another bad news situation. Just seems like we're surrounded by the enemy. Lord God, open our eyes. Help us to see through the lens of Scripture. Help us to see through eyes of faith, to know you're there. No, Lord God, not only are you there, but you've offered us, you've given us, you've equipped us with everything, Lord God, that we need to be more than conquerors. Help us not to be deceived, Lord, by the enemy. Help us not to be preoccupied by what we just see with our human eyes. Lord God, open our eyes. Open our eyes to unseen realities. And right now, Lord, I know there could be somebody listening to this message today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Open their eyes right now to the truth that they're lost and they're dying. And Lord, trying to do life their way is one storm after another storm, one trouble after another trouble. Lord God, open their eyes right now. Convict their heart. Draw them to you. I pray that right now they're opening their heart. They're looking through eyes of faith. Maybe they're realizing for the first time, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I'm not right with God. I pray they'd cry out right now, Jesus Christ, save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I know no doubt there's many believers that are listening to this sermon today who have been discouraged. Seems like the world's closing in on us, Lord, so many times. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord, to your faithfulness. Open our eyes, Lord, to your power that never decreases, Lord God, never fades away, never leaves us. Lord, thank you for the victory you've assured us, you've guaranteed us as your children. Help us to walk in that victory, no matter what's happening. Lord, help us to shout the victory anyway. Like your children marching around the walls of Jericho. Lord, you told them to shout before the walls ever fail. because those walls were as good as fallen because you promised they were going to fall. Lord, help us to shout the victory before the victory ever comes, simply because we know it's coming. Open our eyes to your truth. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our humanity. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good. I pray this message has been an encouragement to you this morning. Again, I encourage you to share it with somebody, like it on Facebook, share it with those around you, share it on your Facebook page, and make sure others can be blessed as well from the preaching of God's Word. You be blessed. Be careful this week. I trust you'll pray for me as I pray for you. God bless you.